Get ready for a journey into the heart of Bridgeport politics with In Absentia, a new podcast from Connecticut Public's investigative team, The Accountability Project. Learn about the city's past and present political dysfunction and the systems that enable it. Tune in wherever you get your podcasts.
Funding provided by Francisco L. Borges and the Melville Charitable Trust.
Welcome to Seasoned. I'm Marisol Castro.
And I'm Chef Plum.
If it is the last Thursday of the month, we must be doing a live broadcast for Seasoned.
We have to be, because we're here, and it made me so happy when the music came on to watch you jump. I was so excited.
It startled me a little bit, I'll be honest.
It was amazing.
All of you listeners, thank you so much for joining us. We love this time of the month where we get to take live calls from you at home, in your car, in your backyard. Maybe you're online waiting for the vaccine. Maybe you're, I don't know.
Maybe you're just enjoying this fantastic weather that we have outside today, right?
It is really beautiful, and it harkens spring, because spring has officially sprung, which means we have to talk about farms. Hello.
Farming and gardening and growing.
Yes.
And getting delicious food locally from your backyard, from your local farm. And we want to hear about your favorite local farm and things you like to grow. Give us a call here, 888-720-9677 or 888-720-WNPR. And let's hear. Let's hear what you like to grow. Let's hear about your farms.
Let's hear about your farms. Let's hear about your favorite farm. Maybe even your favorite farmer's market. If I'm being honest, which about 92% of the time I'm honest, one of the things that made me fall in love with the state of Connecticut was the farms. Like, I saw dairy farms. I saw arboretums. I saw apple. I mean, I saw all of it. And I was like, oh, this could happen. This city girl can make a life out here.
We have some amazing farms out here. And years ago, I hosted a show where that's what we did. We went to these local farms. And that's where I learned about how many incredible ingredients we have just here in
our
state.
We really can eat locally because there are local farms everywhere.
And I even count, you know, getting local oysters. That's farming.
That's absolutely right.
I mean, it's everything. Kelp. Want kelp? We can get sea kelp.
We had sugar kelp off the coast of Westport, off the coast of Norwalk.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about that?
They're very fancy in Westport.
You know what else is so great, too, about where we grow is that people can even have amazing gardens, and they grow beautifully here in Connecticut.
They do. I think I've had this conversation with you. We talked about the plants come to my house to die.
Yes. You're like the plant cemetery.
I am the crypt keeper of plants. Until last year, during the pandemic, I had a green thumb, and I actually grew tomatoes on my back deck.
How many tomatoes did you yield?
27.
Wow.
I know, I was not joking. It was literally all I could do was keep those tomatoes alive. I didn't care about anything else. I just needed those tomatoes to stay alive. So
good for you.
Thank you. So
fantastic job.
I'm very proud of myself for that. You know, I've kept two children alive, but it was more important that I actually grew some tomatoes on my back deck.
We have an expert though this week to help us.
Thank the sweet baby Jesus, and she may or may not have helped me.
Oh, there you go. That's cheating.
Yes. So one of the farms I love in particular, Sport Hill Farm in Easton.
Awesome place.
Yeah.
And run by an amazing human being.
I love this woman. I remember the exact moment I met her, and I will ask her if she remembers it too.
Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, farm fans, please welcome. I usually say baseball fans, but I'm going to say farm fans.
I like farm fans.
Farm fans. The one and only Patty Pop of Sport Hill Farm. How are you, Patty?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We are happy to be hanging out with you and talking, especially on this beautiful day that we have outside. We're so excited to have you on here on Seasoned with us.
Thank you for having me. I'm listening to the peepers partying out there right now.
Oh, yeah. As well you should. You know this is a live.
It's springtime.
It's a live call-in show, and we hope you at home give us a call. You can talk to us about your spring veggies. You can ask Patty a question. The number is 888-720-9677. That's 888-720-WNPR.
Patty, just to start off to kind of lay some groundwork, how long has Sport Hill Farm been around and what made you get this green thumb?
A loaded question.
There's the Patty giggle. I love it.
So we are bravely entering our 21st year farming.
Wow.
Unreal when I think back. We were farming before social media. I had to go into every farmer's market to get my name out there, you know, talk to every person. It was kind of crazy. I continue to blame it on my husband that it's his fault that we're farmers.
Leave Al out of this. I love Al. Such a nice fella.
So we, you know, moved to Easton when we were first married. And we acquired property a few years later. And with that extra property, I was like, I had my second son and I wasn't working. I had to quit my job as working for an orthopedic doctor. And we turned into farmers, not knowing a darn thing.
Well, that's what I was totally just going to ask you. Do you come from a farming family?
We don't. And the funny thing is the memories I have, you know, both my parents worked growing up and my maternal grandparents took care of us. And, you know, TV, there wasn't a lot on TV or no computers. So my grandmother loved her flower garden. Mm. And my grandfather did have a pretty impressive vegetable garden. So those are kind of memories I have. So I guess I was kind of exposed to it, didn't appreciate it at that time.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, growing up, my dad was one of the first people into the organic gardening movement. He got those magazines in back in the 70s, was it? And put up this greenhouse off of our house in Trumbull.
I love it.
Started all his seedlings, planted the garden, and then a deer came and ate it down, and that was the end of that.
No! Oh, my gosh. That's heartbreaking.
Yeah, you know, well, it's life.
It's life. It's life in the wild, right? They were here first. Uh-huh. And so that brought you, so those are the memories that you have, but it's not like someone ever taught you specifically, no. Okay, Patty, this is it, because you were an office assistant, right?
Yeah. I worked for an orthopedic for 15 years, longer than any of his wives were with him.
Okay.
I love it.
Wow.
You are definitely loyal. Patty Pop.
Yes.
So talk to us about the farm. What was, so you get this piece of land with Al, you've got your son.
Yes. So we started farming here in Easton. We turned the property into farmland. When we had first moved in, it was wooded area. So we started taking down the trees and removing the rocks, and the town showed up and like, what are you doing? And we're like, we're going to start a farm. And you know, it was a process. It was definitely a few years of clearing the land, you know, getting everything situated, you know, figuring out, is there a need for this? We're in an area where we have agriculture all around us. But, you know, we took it slow, and that's all I could do when my kids were younger. And we just grew, and I don't know, every time I was about to give in, something just pushed me, and I just kept going. So, you know, we learned by talking to a lot of the old-time farmers, a lot of which are gone now. Sal Gilberti, you read books.
I love Sal. You know, what a great human
being
he is.
It's trial and error is what it boils down to, because everything's different for everybody.
And you didn't have a lot of people to teach you here. I mean, it wasn't like someone said, hey, you know, come work with me, I'll show you how to do this. You figure this all out on your own.
Mm-hmm. It was a lot, you know, but like I said, we were lucky to have a few farmers in town who, you know, were there to answer questions and concerns and talk to us and tell us about the whole farming industry and life. And because really going into this kind of naive was probably the better thing to do, because if
right, you didn't know
then what I know now, right. I would have never done it.
You might still be with the orthopedist.
Hey.
Well, he's long gone now.
R.I.P. orthopedist. Sorry.
Hey, so when you started off, I think of you a lot. I mean, you and I have spent time together talking chickens and dealing with hens, and that was kind of one of the first things that you started working with, right?
Yeah, that was through the years, you know, we began growing a few crops, doing some local farmers markets. I went to the one in Trumbull back in the day. I did the Greenfield Hill one, and then we got some chickens. Same thing, not knowing what we were doing. The things I've learned about chickens is mind-blowing. But we've kept them for eggs, so we have lots of ladies on the farm for fresh eggs.
Well, Patty,
we basically do veggies.
You're going to make the comment like that. I got to ask you, what's one of the most mind-blowing things about a chicken that someone may not know?
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Remember, it's a family show.
There's so much. Like, really? Well, you know, they like, and owning any pet, you're going to have issues. You can have issues. And it's traumatizing. Aww. You know, we had a raccoon get into the coop when we were actually remodeling the house that we live in now. We were up next door, and I remember my husband telling me, he's like, don't go down to the chicken coop. Because unfortunately, raccoons behead them. It's a game. They might only eat one or two, but they take out the whole...
The whole brood.
Wow.
Flock.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously we weren't in there to scare it away.
But this is an interesting point you make, because I've noticed... that a lot of, and even where I live, people want to get chickens because they want those fresh mm-hmm. eggs.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And this is something to be aware of if you're going to get into, you know, even if you're just going to have one or two or three chickens in your backyard. And
exactly. It's, you know, if it's one or two, or, you know, we have like 200, it's still the same concern. You have the hawks that are hungry, and they do swoop down and will take out your bird and carry them away. It's amazing to watch. It doesn't make me happy. Mm-hmm.
But it's the wild, right?
This is the area we live in. You have, something was in our chicken coop because we tried to free range them. It's still in a fenced in area. And it was in within a matter of 45 minutes last year that I went out. I heard the chickens, because hens are very quiet. And I ran out because I heard them making a noise. So I thought it was the hawk, let my dog out. And there were feathers all over the field.
Oh, no.
Whatever it was took three birds in a matter of a half hour.
Oh, my gosh.
There was a hole in the fence, which, you know, it was small enough to get in and out. And actually, we have a video camera that we actually saw some kind of a creature. I don't know if it was a fisher cat, if they can jump. But if this thing, the poor hen went to go, you know, jump up in the tree, which was too high for it to reach. And this critter jumped up after it and took her. So,
Sport Hill Farm Chupacabra.
Well, these,
crazy.
These are the perils of farming, because I think mm-hmm. you are the perfect example of, you went into this not knowing what you were doing, and you literally have been learning trial by error and maybe a few little broken hearts. But if you've never been to Sport Hill, I just want to paint a quick picture. It's off of Sport Hill. Appropriately named. Mm-hmm. It's dirt road. You see, right, the barn on the left. And mm-hmm. when you park your car, before you go into your little cafe, the chickens greet you. They're like the greeters. They're there. And I've spent half an hour just looking at them. They're very soothing creatures. And then...
To watch the chickens.
To just watch the chickens. Okay. They're just mm-hmm. doing their thing. And then you take a little left, and Patty's got all these little pots of stuff growing, like beautiful flowers or even like herbs. And then you go into the store. There's always a friendly greeter. You get your little paper bag. I think the last time I went in there was the last of tomatoes. It was mm-hmm. like a...
Very New England.
Very, very, very. It's Everyone's fantastic. Informative. You go out... You adapted to the mm-hmm. pandemic. You had a pod. You've got these beautiful tables. Everything is green and verdant. Was that by design? How did all of that come to be?
Well, you know, I think, because my husband picks on me all the time. He's like, why do you care? And I'm like, because I care. Because I love Country Living Magazine, and I want our farm to look just like that. So needless to say, he has a long honey-do list.
Oh, my gosh.
I look at it, when people envision farms, you know, we've been marketed what a farm is from childhood. You look in the books, it's green pastures, everybody has cows, everybody has chickens, everybody has pigs, yada, yada.
Right.
But that's not the reality of what a family farm is. Yes, you might have some of those components, but that doesn't mean that everybody always does.
Right.
So we're basically a vegetable farm, but I want it also to be a place where people... I'm big into teaching. I want people to learn, and all I can do is teach them what I've learned through my experience. And I want people to be able to come here and relax and breathe and just enjoy little things, like watch the bees pollinating. Did you ever stop and watch that?
No, but I'm going to encourage everyone to.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, the butterflies flying around and all the cocoons I found last year. It's like I worked in an office where – I was caught up in that rut. You know, you get up, I had to get the kids ready, I had to drop them off at daycare, you know, pack all their stuff, go to work, come home, pick them up, go back home, make dinner, give them a bath, go to bed, and start the day over.
Wash, rinse, repeat. We're going to stop there for a second, because we have to take a quick break. We're talking with Patty Pop of Sport Hill Farm in Easton. We are not nearly done with her, and we're not nearly done taking calls from you. It's the live call-in show.
You gotta give us a ring. 888-720-9677 or 888-720-WNPR. We're talking vegetables next. Give us a call. Shout out your farm. Tell us what you're growing. We'll see you guys in just a second. Stay right there.
back to Seasoned. I'm Marisol Castro.
And I'm Chef Plum. And today we are celebrating the start of spring because it's so beautiful outside.
Absolutely.
And we're talking, of course, with our good friend Patty Pop from Sport Hill Farm. And we're going to go hard here. We're going to dive deep into food and springtime vegetables and those things you harvest first, what to do with them.
Yeah.
And what are your favorite farms out there? I definitely want to give some shout outs there as well. And I want to hear everyone thing that you got to say too. So give us a call at 888-720-9677. That's 888-720-WNPR. Let's talk farming. Let's talk food. Patty, what's your favorite thing to grow?
That's a really hard one.
Is it like picking your favorite child?
Exactly. I think there's, you know, components of every season that's a favorite. For me, obviously, along with most of people, it's a fresh tomato off the vine. And in the fall, I adore spaghetti squash because I use it like pasta and it's just so versatile. It can do anything. But since we've been coming out of winter now, I am jonesing for some good greens.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So tell us what some of the spring vegetables are over on the farm.
So right now, what we're busy planting, you probably might have heard before, you plant peas on St. Patty's Day if your ground is workable. That's always a good fun event if you have children. So anytime now, you should be getting those peas in the ground, your snap peas, your shelling peas, whatever works for you. This is the time to do it because they don't like the really hot weather. So
I just learned something new.
Plant those right in the ground. Or if you have a patio, I don't want people getting overwhelmed with gardening. I think it should be a fun thing. And I think in the spring now, we're all excited and we want to grow all this stuff. And it's cool out still and not too hot. And then summer comes along and everybody forgets about everything.
Right.
So do small containers. Lettuces. A lot of the nurseries, smaller nurseries, are carrying the seedlings for you. Those are something you can easily start indoors.
Oh, yeah.
Using recycled berry boxes, the plastic ones, put some potting mix in, put your seeds in, water it. All it needs for seeds to germinate is warmth and moisture.
Hmm.
And then once they pop out of the ground, then you need to feed them.
Patty, I just got to jump in for a second. You said berry boxes, so I'm picturing like the strawberry containers. Are we talking about that?
Yeah, well, the plastic ones, I should say. I'm sorry. Plastic strawberry containers are blueberries, raspberries. They're all out now. That's where you can start it.
What a great idea.
Mm-hmm. I love that idea. And also, we're upcycling, right? We're taking
exactly.
That.
And along with that, if you don't have those available, toilet paper rolls and paper towel rolls, cut them down to about an inch high. Put them in a little container or tray or a box you might have, fill them with soil and put a seed per cell.
Really?
And then you can start stuff that way,
Patty
too.
Patty Pop, are you making videos on TikTok and not telling us?
Honestly.
Holy smokes.
That's really great. What a great idea that is.
I got to go over to the farm. We have to do a show and tell here.
Yeah.
I love this.
Clearly. Next, you're going to say egg crates in a second. That's what's coming next.
Right? So, you know, you should be planting all your greens, arugula, cabbage seeds get started now, lettuces, beets can go in the ground, carrots go in the ground. In your house, you'd want to start your tomatoes, your cucumbers, your peppers, zucchini. Those all cannot take the colder weather. So if you put them outside, they're not going to germinate right now. The soil's too cold.
Huh. Okay.
Well, we got a question. We got a caller calling in, Patty. You mind taking a call with us?
Come on.
Let's do it. We've got Matt from Fairfield. Matt, what you got for the show today?
Hey, it's Matt Storch. How you guys doing?
Hey,
Matt! How about that? Chef, how are you?
Took me off guard there, Chef. Nice to have you.
I know, totally. What's up, Matt?
The favorite farmer in the world.
She is fantastic. We love having Patty on here and talking all about great food. Matt, you were talking about seasonality. Talk about how important that is for a chef, especially to have a great local farmer to work with.
Well, that's the key. I mean, Patty has done so much for us and just the general public in respects of showing people when actually things grow in this area. So I was hoping she would share a little bit about her particular pet peeves on, you know, people wanting corn at all times.
you know, want to know my new t-shirt I'm coming out with, right?
Exactly.
Perfect.
Yeah, Patty's good. Patty's good at teaching people lessons. So I was hoping she would share that on radio.
I love it. Patty, tell us about seasonality on vegetables.
Oh, boy. There's no tomatoes now, people. There's no field tomatoes. Seasonality is important in the spring, and this is taught by other people who've gone to school in integrative nutrition. You know, spring means green. We're lightening up. We're coming out of winter where we kind of cooked and baked and we want rich foods. And now bathing suit season's coming around the corner.
That's what I'm thinking.
So now
about.
It's time to lighten up. So you want to eat greens. You want to get spinaches. And it helps boost your body too, as well as helping you lose some weight. And then you roll into summertime. And when you really think about it, summer, what? It gets hot and humid and people don't want to cook. You want to grill. But everything that's available can be eaten raw. You got your field tomatoes. You have your cucumbers. Right. You have your zucchini. You know, most of the stuff that comes in the summer is something that's quick and easy. And then we roll into the fall and into the winter where it's back to the greens. You can still grow some greens, but it brings us all those winter squashes and pumpkins,
right.
And
yeah.
Stuff that you want to cook and make the house warm by baking and make your soul warm by eating soups and everything. So it does make sense what nature gives us here in Connecticut.
I was just going to say, Mother Nature really is perfect. She knows what she's doing. Mm-hmm. Before we go any further, I just have to introduce Matt Storch. Are you still there, Matt?
I'm here.
Listening intently?
I am.
Matt's restaurant has outlived, certainly my marriage. He's outlived a lot of stuff. He's a chef supreme. He's a hometown boy, a dear friend of the show, a dear friend of
icon.
Mine. He is a Connecticut icon. Matt Storch, oh. Match Burger Lobster in Westport, Match in Sono.
Gets I've lots never, of his vegetables from Patty.
He gets lots he of his vegetables. He makes one of the best.
Yeah,
one of the best, if not the best burger I've ever had in my entire life.
And he only uses tomatoes when they're in season.
Hey, there we go. That's a big winner. Chef, great to hear your voice, man. We look forward to seeing you down the road.
Love you all. There, have a great day.
There he goes.
Thanks. Love you,
Chef
Matt.
Matt
Take
Storch.
Care.
Patty, it brings up a great point. So if people come to your farm right now and they want to have, hey, Patty, can we have some corn? What do you say to them?
I have popcorn.
But do you try to educate them and explain to them, listen.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, education is just key. Most people do not know. Everything that appears, you know, in your local grocery store does not appear on a farm.
Right.
Farming has kind of been marketed to us. So when we think of Memorial Day, we think of that as it's the unofficial opening of summer, right? Summer begins, yada, right. Yada. We should have watermelons and tomato and corn on the cob. And all that stuff's being shipped in from the United States or elsewhere into the grocery stores. But the reality is Connecticut farms do not have that at that time.
Yeah, it's just, it's
there's
not,
no way.
Grow.
The old saying goes, I mean, there's always some farms out there that are using Rime to get crops earlier than expected, but really knee-high by the 4th of July for corn.
Hmm.
And then, you know, by that time, you figure end of July into August through frost, you get corn, sweet corn. But like I said, there's people out there who do push the bar. I feel for us, there's just certain things that when you try and force Mother Nature, and I know people want it, but the flavor is not true to what it could be because you're pushing something to be done in a time when it's not really supposed to be.
Right.
Absolutely. And you know what? I just love all these little rhymes that farmers have. Knee-high by July.
Right, knee-high by July.
That's what you gotta do, learn
knee-high
some rhymes.
By the 4th of July, exactly.
Perfect.
And you know, and the same goes with tomatoes. I mean, there's farms I saw on Instagram that are, you know, heating their greenhouses and they have tomatoes in the ground and they're good, but there's something just about a field tomato that is just
very
so
different.
Different because it's the sun, it's the rain, it's not in a controlled environment per se.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the epitome of a summer tomato. You go out there, you pick it off and you eat it.
And it's still
without
warm
your salt,
from the
and it's
sun.
So good.
Yeah.
Eat it like an apple in the sun. It's
right?
It's
mm-hmm.
delicious. We all love it. I can't wait to hear what you're planting out there here in Connecticut. Give us a call, 888-720-9677. That's 888-720-WNPR. Tell us what you're planting.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what you're planting. I just planted some peppers. I don't have a lot of hope for them.
Oh,
I don't.
Really?
No, I don't. I'm not very good at it either. But, Patty, I want to ask you about peas because those are one of the first things we harvest. I love peas. One of the things I love to do with them, especially when they're really fresh like that, minus all you can get them, I lightly blanch them and then I'll puree them with a little bit of butter and a little bit of salt, pepper, sometimes a touch of garlic, and it makes a delicious sauce to put on chicken.
Yummy. That.
Bright green. It looks so great on a plate, and the taste, because they're so fresh and they're super sweet. Mm-hmm. It's a great time of year to make a sauce like that out of them.
Definitely.
I also find, Patty, and you know, let me know, put me in my place. The food that you make is just fresher when it comes straight from your farm. I mean, I've taken zucchini from your farm. I've gone home, thrown it on the grill that night, and somehow it just tastes better.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, 100%. Patty, what about you? What's something you recommend to do with some of these fresh vegetables that start, you know, early in springtime, like peas and things like that?
Like Marisol just said, you don't need a lot of prep work. When something is so fresh, it needs minimal work done to it. I often on my social media pages will post, you know, some family recipes. I have a coleslaw recipe handed down from my grandmother for cabbage and some homemade dressings that are really simple, that all you need is a mason jar, throw your local honey in, olive oil, some vinegar, and shake it up and pour that over your fresh head of lettuce.
Ooh.
You know, it's easy. You can't go wrong. You're not going to hurt anything. Baking's more of a science, whereas cooking, anything can go.
For sure. You know, I love,
you know,
the asparagus you brought up too, minus all. One of the things I love to do with it in the beginning, because it's, I think it almost has that sweetness when you pick it fresh, when it's fresh in springtime, right? I like to take a peeler and I'll peel it. Mm-hmm. Right? And I'll put that, I'm making the motion with my hands.
Yeah, no, I know, I'm watching. It's hysterical.
I'll use a peeler and I'll peel down the asparagus into a bowl and I'll save the tips and I'll toss that with a little bit of lemon juice and truffle oil. And then I'll put that on a plate with some fresh ricotta cheese.
Oh.
And then take a little bit of that honey she's talking about and drizzle that on there, and I make a asparagus and ricotta truffle salad.
Well, okay, so we're in March. The farm opens when? April 9th?
I'm opening a little earlier just for a couple of days in April. So I keep saying Thursday. So Fridays and Saturdays in April, starting on April 9th, yes.
Okay. I only ask you this because I'm trying to figure out when Plum is going to get said asparagus so he can make that and bring it here for our next live show.
Well, asparagus will start. I mean, if anybody's grown their garlic, they see it popping out of the ground. And in spring, you need to fertilize it and feed it. It's a heavy feeder now in the spring when it's growing. When you get the garlic scapes, if you plant the hardneck garlic, you are to remove those.
Mm.
And as a farmer, we sell those, and I actually bundle them up with little recipe cards to make a garlic scape pesto.
Great pesto. Mm-hmm.
It is the first flavor of garlic before we pull the garlic out of the ground, which is usually after the 4th of July. The pesto is amazing. You can use it to cook with. You can use it on garlic bread.
Mix it with some olive oil and make a salad dressing.
Mm-hmm.
I love garlic scapes. They have a lot of uses. John from Colchester has a question for us. John, what you got for the show today?
Actually, it's a statement, and I agree with everything you just said on the garlic scapes. I was waiting to chime in on that. But I just want to see if I can get agreement on clarification on knee-high by the 4th of July. Is knee-high when you're riding a horse?
Oh.
Oh.
Well.
I think I did a search on it one time because I used the phrase. I help out on I volunteer on a farm all the time. And I use it all the time when people are looking for corn real early. But then I did a search, and I think it knee-high references the farmer riding on a horse, and it would hit his knees while riding on the horse.
Well, there you go.
Listen to John. John is setting the record straight, sir.
There you go. There's always somebody.
Thank you. I love it.
There's John calling in from Colchester to tell us all about the definition of some of these.
The etymology of the knee high by the 4th of July. Patty, do you have a Clydesdale?
And do you wear chaps?
Hmm.
Spurs.
Next on the list.
I get you a big ad too. Hey, listen, I think we're going to take a little breather here, get kind of a reset, get our ducks in a row. But when we get back, I want to give some shout outs to some great local farms that we've got around here, and also have some more time with Patty.
Yeah. We're speaking to Patty Pop of Sport Hill Farm. While we talk to her, think about your farming attitudes. Did you just sign up for a CSA? Are you counting the days until you can pick up your first box? Call us now. We want to know what fresh things you're cooking or what you hope to cook in the next few weeks. You're listening to Seasoned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Seasons. Marisol Castro here.
And I'm Chef Plum. And if you're just joining us, we're live today in the studio. We're always live the last Thursday of every month.
True story.
And we love that because we get a chance to talk to you. So give us a call at 888-720-9677. That's 888-720-WNPR. Or if you're like me and you're terrible with the letters and thing on your numbers on your phone, it's 720-9677. That's how I look at it. We're joined by Patty Pop.
The one and only Patty
Sport Hill Farm.
Pop. Not only one of my favorite farmers, one of my favorite people. I'm going to embarrass you, Patty. Because you were named Farmer of the Year in 2018 by the Farmer's Almanac.
Come on.
Brandish that reward. I mean, come on. You're doing some good work. I joke, but I don't joke. You are. You work so tirelessly at what you do, and you're so pivotal in your community. So that's why we want to pick your brain about what you do on the farm and help us at home try to figure out what we can do with some of our spring vegetables. So if you're listening, if you want to know when to plant your arugula, when you should harvest it, what you should be planting now, give us a call. 888-720-9677. 888-720-WNPR.
So, Patty, what are some of those vegetables that people come in the springtime and want first? Are they come to you first looking for, hey, do you have this?
Avocados, pineapples, and tomatoes.
Stop it.
Come on.
No.
I swear.
Really?
No joke. Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
In sweet corn, like Memorial Day weekend, we'll begin the people coming in asking for sweet corn. And thus my spiel happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just educating them.
You know, some of those early things that I like to get, I love artichokes. I love arugula. The greens we talked about are some of my favorite things to use, too. Arugula is a great thing as well because not only can you make a great salad with it, it also makes a fantastic pesto. You can
make a
delicious arugula salad dressing out of it where you can actually puree that arugula with a little bit of lemon juice, garlic. I use a pinch of mustard and salt and then slowly drizzle in some olive oil, puree it, makes a beautiful dressing.
Yeah. My first brush with arugula, I guess now that I'm digging into the recesses of my mind, I dealt with farming at a young age because arugula used to grow wild on the side of the hutch.
Oh, wow.
And as a kid, I remember these Italian old ladies would go and pick the arugula.
Really?
That was their jam. Yeah. And now it's like, oh my God, arugula, it's so hoity-toity. I mean, I don't think it is.
Is it hoity-toity?
I mean, some people are like, I'll only eat arugula. I don't want romaine. I want the peppery notes of the arugula.
That's fantastic. Hey, we've got Lydia from Mansfield on the phone. Hi, Lydia. Welcome to Season. What you got for the show today?
Hey there. I'm not quite sure whether I have anything worthy of being on the radio, but...
Of course you do.
Absolutely do.
And I had just cleaned up my hands from messing around with the dirt, which is what everyone should be doing right now.
Absolutely.
And noticed that leeks that I had grown, I finish a buy leeks at the store, I cut them and leave the roots, and a lot of times they'll restart a whole new leek. And I had some that I just kind of stuck in the ground. So I just moved into a new place that I have never gardened before, but I stuck them in a kind of sheltered spot. They had already started to sprout, and they made it through the winter. So I am growing my own leeks, and that's kind of exciting that I don't have to. It's a good way to. It's a good tip, so you don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I've never thought of that. Thanks, Lydia. Leeks, cutting them and then just putting the root end in the ground, that works, Patty?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well, I know during the pandemic, folks were growing lettuce in their windowsills, even in the city, because we were desperate and we didn't know where our vegetables were coming from. What other vegetables or produce or herbs or whatever can you think of, Patty, that are hardy enough that you can do that you can grow them in a Tupperware in your windowsill or just in the ground?
Well, you can, like you said, the lettuce, the leeks, onions. You can start potatoes their eyes, so then you can put them in the ground to root. You know, basically anything. It's a lot quicker than beginning things from seed.
Right. Mm.
But, you know, sometimes lettuce will become a little bitter because you can't cut it down too many times. It's like when we grow arugula or the lettuce, they both like cooler temperatures. So when it starts to get really hot and bake in the sun, sometimes your lettuce tastes like it's bitter.
Oh,
and it's not because it's old. It's because of the elements of the weather.
Wow.
And the same with arugula. The first cutting of arugula, if it's when it's still cool out and it's still spring, is amazing. And then it'll grow two or three times after. But each time now you cut it, it gets spicier and spicier because the temperatures are going up.
That's happening.
And the same with mustard greens too.
What? So this makes complete sense. Chef and I are both looking at each other like a light bulb just went off. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So for folks at home who are considering, you know, out in their backyard or their deck or whatever little plot of lands they have, what should we grow from seedlings and what should we grow from actual plants?
I think so people don't get discouraged. A fun thing to do, especially if you have a small area and not a lot of waste, you know, not a big garden to put in, is get some, you know, nice size planters and buy some tomato plants and put one tomato plant in the container. Mm-hmm. And then around the base, you can put carrots because the tomato grows up, the carrots grow down, and they're friends, they're companion plants. So they help ward off some diseases and some bugs.
Carrots and tomatoes.
And tomatoes love one another.
But tomatoes and potatoes don't like each other, right?
Yeah, exactly. There's a whole...
Wow.
And then what about, I had heard, because again, I was so proud of myself with the tomato growing, planting marigolds around them keep the pests away.
Too, it keeps pests away. It brings the pollinators to the area. Because obviously the bees are looking for food. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, when we, last year, mustard greens aren't a big favorite for a lot of people. Oh. I find them delicious.
I do too.
They can be
raw. I love them. Oh, I love them.
You can make, like you say, a pesto with them, which is amazing. But they went to flower. And their flowers are beautiful. They were beautiful yellow flowers. And
beautiful
of course,
flowers.
They're edible. And they are amazing. And arugula flowers, when I let my arugula go to seed, almost go to seed, it flowers first, is like the best flower I've ever had.
Really?
Yeah, it's really pretty. They come out, they're beautiful,
it's sweet,
bright.
And it's got a little kick to it, and it's really amazing. So pretty much the stages of your plants, you can pretty much eat the whole stage except when it gets to the seed part.
For sure. Hey, I'll give you a little chef tip too for mustard greens that I do it with mustard greens and with kale. If you pull the stems off, take those leaves and put them in a bowl. I toss it with just a pinch of salt and apple cider vinegar. Let it hang out in that bowl for a few minutes and then put it down. And some of the flowers she's talking about, you can put those on there, like tear the petals up and put them on.
Yep.
Or just use chive flower blossoms too, which are beautiful
the purple
on there.
Ones. Yeah.
Makes
an
amazing salad. My kids will eat it with their hands.
Really?
And they just eat it like a champion, even the mustard greens.
Wow.
Yeah. So good.
It's a great
ramp season's coming up.
Oh, yeah. We got to talk about ramps for sure. I wanted to ask you about artichokes as well, because so many people love artichokes. They're not that easy to grow. They're kind of a pain in the butt to prepare.
Yeah.
You have to clip them. Mm-hmm. And
it eludes me. It makes me very nervous.
But they're delicious. Are they really that difficult from a farming standpoint?
Yeah, they are. We haven't ventured off to doing that. And plus, they take up a lot of space. They're pretty much like the broccolis and cauliflowers, which, you know, you get this huge plant. And then the head is right in the center of it.
Right.
But people don't realize, I'm trying to teach them that when we harvest our broccoli and cauliflower, to eat those leaves, I will cut the leaves and sell them separately because they taste just like the vegetable itself. And it's like a kale. So it's a broccoli leaf. Treat it like a kale. You can make it crispy by putting it in the oven. Mm-hmm. You can saute it. You can roast it with the broccoli florets itself. But the leaves are so delicious.
Huh.
Man, that's a great tip right there.
Right?
I love that. That's a fantastic tip.
It is. I can't tell you how delicious they are. They really make, and it makes it more filling too, because you get more bang for your buck that way.
Yeah. It crispy
and the
greens.
Same with Brussels yeah. sprout leaves. Like everybody takes all the leaves off of the stalk when they sell them.
Mm-hmm.
Cook those babies up. Really? They are so amazing.
Wow, that's
Patty.
A great
tip. I have a kind of a random question because you're talking about these leaves and how you use every bit of the vegetable, and I'm envisioning you harvesting stuff on the farm. Is there at 7 o'clock at night? Do you look at Al and you're like, let's have a salad, and you two just go out into the back onto your farm? Pick a
I
few
do.
Things?
Like tonight, I'm going to go into my greenhouse and get kale.
I love
it. As I overwintered it in our greenhouse, and you just jones it after a while. Like the kale from the stores does not taste the same, and yeah. I understand why people do not like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once you start getting great vegetables like that, it does change you a little bit. You kind of get almost spoiled to it. Yeah. You gotta get
definitely.
It from the farm. You know?
For sure.
It tastes different. Less hands have touched it, you know?
Mm-hmm. If you're just tuning in, we are speaking to Patty Pop of Sport Hill Farm. We are live and on the airwaves. It's the call-in show. So if you have any questions in these last few minutes, give us a call. The number is 888-720-9677, 888-720-WNPR.
Patty, we got to do it. The mysterious ramp. We have to talk about ramps.
Please.
Here in our state, I've known several chefs from years ago who have their area in the woods where they get their ramps. They won't tell anybody where they are. They'll trek up to Roxbury or someplace, Woodbury, into the woods. They'll check behind them to make sure no one's following them, and they'll cut their ramps, and they'll bring them back to the restaurant, or they'll bring them back to the house to prepare them. What exactly is a ramp to start with, Patty? Can you explain that?
Honestly, I'm not a fan. It's not my big thing, but they grow in wooded areas, and it's in the onion family. And people, this is what I think, we're just jonesing for something to eat. So it's one of the earliest spring greens, per se, that people go out to forage and find. But you have to be mindful in how you are picking them. Because if you take them all or you take the whole plant out, it won't regenerate and grow for the next season. So when foraging and looking for stuff, which is great because nature provides a lot, we have to be mindful and not being too selfish and taking too much.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, listen, as far as cooking ramps and what to do with them, you know, we've said the word pesto a lot today, and I'm going to say it again.
I love it.
You know, a ramp pesto is delicious. I like to grill my ramps off first, mix them with almonds, garlic, a little bit of Parmesan cheese, and sometimes I'll put a little chili in there as well. And
I like it.
Pop them in the food processor with a little bit of olive oil and a pinch of lemon. Makes an amazing pesto to put on something.
I'm here for it.
You know, another thing I like to do too is take those ramps, toss them with a little bit of olive oil and garlic, grill them, and just chop them up and top steaks with them.
Ooh, that's
it
nice.
It is delicious on there.
What about fiddlehead ferns?
Those are funny little guys, aren't they?
Anytime I see them, I look at them and I'm like, I love you. And I bring them home and I'm like, I've put salt and pepper and olive oil on them. I throw them on the grill. I try to call Plum, but he's too busy at the beauty parlor getting his hair dyed purple.
Wow, kind of pretty.
What do you have those at the farm, Patty?
I don't know.
Okay,
that's another thing that people go out on foraging and they have their little areas where they find it, yada yada. But when garlic scape season hits and you have nasturtiums growing.
Love nasturtiums.
Can I tell you how yummy that pesto is to combine the two?
Oh,
so you have the pepperiness of your nasturtium and the garlic flavor. It's the bomb. And you put the flowers in and it makes the pesto really pretty too.
Yeah, yeah.
I think everyone's making pesto for dinner tonight.
They have to.
It's so easy. You can pesto anything. When the arugula gets too bitter
and it's very
forgivable, you don't like it, make a pesto. Throw olive oil, throw your cheese in there, salt and pepper, and put it on bread and cook with it, and it takes that heat out. Yum. And that bitterness out. It's so good. It's so easy to do. It doesn't have to be just basil. Right.
Delicious. Let's take one last call here. We've got Eric from Hamden. Eric, we got the speed round, buddy. You got about 30 seconds. What you got for us?
I just wanted to say you were talking about arugula earlier. And when I was in Italy, my wife and I on our honeymoon, we were sitting watching a herd of sheep, and a sheepdog would go to the arugula and point it out to the sheep, and they would come over and nibble it. It was
amazing.
Wow.
Interspecies interaction. It was just cool. And hey, thanks for the show. Good job.
Hey, thanks a lot,
Aaron.
We appreciate it. Final call for the day. We've got Sylvie calling from Stratford. Hi, Sylvie. How are you? Welcome to Seasoned.
Hi.
You've got a question for Patty?
Yeah.
Go for it.
What is your favorite vegetable to grow and eat?
and eat.
Sylvie, I miss you.
Aww.
How are you, honey? I have to say the most fun and favorite would be the ground cherries.
Oh.
Because they grow like tomatoes, and then they fall to the ground, and you peel open and get that little yellow berry in the center, which is sweet like a pineapple.
Yeah.
Ooh, those are fantastic. You know, I want to just give a quick shout out. You know, I work out in the East End. I know our show is broadcast out in the East End of Long Island. Some of my favorite farms out there I love, Balsam Farm. They are doing an amazing job. I go there every single day in the summer when I'm working. Amber Waves Farm, amazing sustainable farm.
Yeah.
They are fantastic. There's so many great farms everywhere, you guys. You got to support them. I've always said, I spent some time training with Sean Brock, and he told me years ago that as chefs, we spend so much time cooking our food. We got to do what the farmers do. Farmers spend so much time trying to give us the best food they possibly can when they can grow it and when they harvest it, that we as chefs and we as cooks and we as people who want to prepare it should do the same care and respect for it that the farmers have. And I've tried to live up to that every single day. So, Patty, much love to you. We really appreciate what you do.
Yeah, 100%. So tell us again when the farm opens.
April 9th and 10th.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm coming over
and
to get some.
Every Saturday in April, we will have a farmer's market outside.
Oh, nice.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent, excellent, excellent. And what's the first bit of goodies that you're going to have available?
It'll be probably more of Sal's stuff, his microgreens and lettuces and spinach. And we'll have our kale and our eggs. And I have a butternut squash sauce we made. And we have our marinara and a lot of our farm friends. You know, the local items we carry here that are people's favorites.
Yes.
Another one of my favorite farms, Gilberti's. Shout out to Sal. What an amazing human being that guy is.
Some Arethusa cheese and butter from you.
Nice.
There as well.
So good.
So delicious. We have had the great pleasure of speaking to Patty Pop, farmer extraordinaire of Sport Hill Farm. You are such a pleasure. I can't wait to reap the benefits of your bounty.
Thank you guys for having me. Miss you guys.
We miss you too. Seasoned is produced by Robin Doyen Aiken, Katie Tolarski, and big thanks to Carmen Baskoff, who helped us with the phones today. And of course, Meg Fitzgerald and Courtney Durso, our social media team. I'm Chef Plum.
I'm Marisol Castro. See you next week, everyone. Thanks for listening. Now go plant something and make a pesto.